Trust Him more, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in sinful faith to plunge me in the healing, cleansing blood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. It is sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking my faith, rest, and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Save a wretch like me. Bible says, need somebody to come up here please with me and pray for Brother William. He wants to be anointed with oil, be prayed over. The Bible said if there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil, call upon the name of the Lord. If they've committed any sins, they'll be forgiven of them. That's in James chapter 5. Be obedient. Lord, obedience your word. We know our brother, Brother William, this morning. We thank you, Father, for his obedience. Lord, to just look and see, Lord, William, Lord, just enjoying the Lord. Lord, shaking hands. Lord, dear Father, Lord, we just like what we saw this morning. I don't know the petition of my brother, but I pray you grant that to be riches and glory. Lord, if he's got any sickness, Lord, if he's got any sin, I just pray you'll take care of it. For the glory and praise of our Savior, we pray, Lord, dear Father, you'd be honored and so diligent. Lord, we thank you, Lord, dear Father. Your word says obedience is better than sacrifice. And I pray for my brother. Bless Brother William. Bless his family. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you, William.
I would like to stand in for someone.
All right. We got a sister, Sister Molly. Now, this right here is what church is all about. She's wanting to stand in for someone else. That's a noble thing. We'll anoint Molly on behalf of someone else. I saw it done in this fashion. And to be honest with you, God honored it. Probably more so than it, the individual. Well, we anoint our sister, Father, this morning to be obedient to her request, Father, on behalf of another. Lord, you know this matter in depth. Lord, you know everything about it. I pray you'll be honored and grant her petition. Be honored, Father, I pray, Lord, to say, Father, Lord, that which is, Lord, only you can say, be forgiven, be saved, be healed, Lord, be delivered. I just pray whatever the petition of my sister is, from the riches and glory, God, you'd grant it. Lord, bless Molly, Lord, Father, and bless William for their obedience this morning. And may we all, Lord, take note and receive instruction in Jesus' name. Be honored, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Sister Molly. Thank you, Brother William. That's what having church is all about. We don't have to snort and stomp and have a fit. To be honest with you, sometimes it's just that still spirit, still small voice in our midst moving. It caused us to realize that the Lord's with us. I appreciate what I saw, what I felt here this morning. Maybe somebody got something on your heart this morning. Maybe something else. I certainly don't want to trespass God's will this morning. I've had a knockdown drag out with the devil and flesh this morning. I've told the Lord up here, I said, Lord, help me to be submitted. I want to be sensitive to the Spirit this morning. I'll give an opportunity if somebody's got something on your heart. And if you don't, we'll go to the Word of God.
I love the Lord this morning.
Amen.
bless you.
When we can't come to nobody else.
Bless you, Sister Molly.
I praise Him for that. And I praise Him for the answers of prayer.
Amen.
Because without Him, we're nothing.
Bless your heart.
And I praise His holy name. Mm. I thank Him for that blood He poured out to my heart one time.
Amen.
Now, I've been walking ever since. It's been a rough road sometimes, but, you know, He's kicked that rough part out and said, come on, child.
Bless your heart.
I've got you. And many a time
bless you, Mom.
I've actually felt His arms around me.
Yeah.
And I know He's there. And I know there's nothing on this earth that He can't take care of.
Bless your heart.
And if you're not living like you're supposed to, you better turn.
Amen.
Because He's at the door.
Mm.
And any time He's going to step out.
Yeah.
God says, go get my children. He's coming. And
amen.
I'm one of His children. And when you mess with me, you're messing with God too.
You're right on the money, again.
I love the Lord this morning, and I would not have my life, no matter how rough it gets, Cheryl.
Bless you, Molly.
How rough it gets. I'm a going through.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Going through. You know, people might down you, put you down, bless and have other people to look at you wrong. Bless you.
Yeah.
God knows my heart.
Yeah.
When I accepted Him back there, it was serious, and it's still serious today because I know He's real. And one thing about it, if He don't take me out in death, He's coming back to
me. Yeah.
But you know, as you get older, you're getting closer all the time
right.
to that death and that judgment. And that judgment is coming.
Amen.
I don't care who you are. You either go to your inner end or depart from
right.
me. I don't care who you are. But I love the Lord, and I'm looking for Him. And I would not have my life no other way. I don't care what people says about me.
Bless you, Mommy.
Because I know what's between me and my Lord. He has meant a lot to me. And
amen.
He still does. I would not give Him up for nothing on this earth.
Amen.
That's what it is. It's like if it was my parents or my brothers and sisters, they're not the one that died for me. My Heavenly Father's Son died
yeah.
for me. And that is who I'm going through for.
Bless
no
you.
One else.
Bless
I'm going home with Him.
Amen.
And He's the one going to judge me. You'll put any judgment you want to here on earth on me. But the main important judgment is my God judgment.
Amen.
Enter or depart.
That's right.
I love Him this morning.
Bless you, Sister Molly. If you stood where I was standing, had you seen a tear dripping off her chin. I appreciate her obedience. There's a sweet spirit here this morning. I thank the Lord for it. I'm trying to be careful here. I'm not as seasoned as some men are. I'm probably a little bit more rambunctious, but I'm trying to be still here and be a little more reserved here this morning. But I appreciate that testimony, Sister Molly. Maybe there might be someone else here this morning. If so, fine. And if not, we'll be glad to preach. I will give opportunity. Maybe you got something heavy on your heart. Maybe you got something you need to say. Like I said, I even dreaded coming this morning because it was 13:13, but I'm here. And I'm glad I'm here. There ain't no place I'd rather be. And I thank the Lord for the privilege not just to be in the house of God, but be in the family of God, know the Spirit of God. And maybe somebody got something else on your heart, we'll give you opportunity. If not, we'll go to the Word of God. All right. Let's get a Bible out. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Just going to try my best, and I did say try, to bring things in perspective. I'm just a man. I know I'm a saved man. I know I'm called to preach. But still, I'm just a man. But I do want to try to put some things in perspective because there's been a lot of things happen here lately. Been a lot of people, I guess, by surprise. Caused a lot of people maybe to have second opinions about God. I mean, you see 20 children murdered in Newport, Connecticut at Sandy Hook Elementary School. And I have to admit, I did not enjoy hearing about that. And six adults and the man that done the killing took his own life. And I don't like any of that. And you see the situation there at Benghazi. I don't like any of that. I do want to say this, that the Word of God is clear, precise. So I want to read six verses right here. In 2 Peter chapter 2, I'll read the first six verses. There were false prophets also among the people,
Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord, and notice this word, that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that should live ungodly. And we'll stop our reading right there. And I want to preach this morning on swift destruction, which is mentioned there in the first verse. You'll notice it said they brought upon themselves swift destruction. And please pray for me this morning. Father, we thank You for the inspired, infallible, incorruptible Word of God. And we do well to take heed as the light shines in darkness. I pray, dear Father, this morning for clarity. I pray, dear Father, Lord, this morning, Lord, I could be a vessel You could use. And I do pray that You'd preach to me and through me to these that are here this morning, who may be able to be made aware of the day and hour we're living in. May be able to redeem the time. May be able to understand some of these things that don't make no sense. Lord, may You pull back the veil. May You show, I pray, under our eyes, Lord, the events of the day we're living in. Father, bring things to mind that we've forgotten. Lord, I pray, Father, bring things to mind that are even happening right now. All for one conclusion, that we might, Lord, fear God and depart from iniquity. Lord, help us, I pray, as children of God, to live in such a way that the world will take note that we've been with Jesus. We'll not be mixed up. Oh Lord, be mistaken for hypocrites. Might be mistaken for lost sinners. But I pray we'll set the standard high. And we'll bless You and ask these things in Jesus' name. Thy will be done. Amen. Jackie Chan, he's a Hollywood actor. And he's just a man. But he's pretty bold. Jackie Chan, I will reiterate this tonight, but Jackie Chan made the statement on Chinese TV that the United States was the most corrupt country in the world. Now, they'll crucify him. That's true. Matter of fact, they already started. Matter of fact, if you look at that like I did on the internet this morning, you'll see some of the replies that were made against him with his statement. And one of the accusations one woman made, she told him where to go. And she said, I do believe China has forced abortions. For some reason or another, we have abortions, but they're supposed to be tolerable, I reckon, no big deal. But China has forced abortions because they have no room for no one else. They've run out of land. They got more people than they got land. But in America, somehow or another, I guess it's okay to have abortion in America. She said that China has forced abortion. But I want to preach this morning on swift destruction. And let me say, first of all, that we are in trouble. I'll bring that to light right here. I'll bring some things to mind, I'm sure, this morning with the help of the Lord. But we don't have to look too far in the Bible to see our situation. As a matter of fact, buddy, we're ripe for judgment. We're ripe to get out of here. And I'm glad I am going to get out of here. But you can look right there in Genesis chapter 6. You don't have to go there. But it talks about, you know, that all men had corrupted his way upon the earth. And no wonder Jackie Chan, hey now like I said, he's just a man, just a Hollywood actor, but no wonder he can make a statement that the United States is the most corrupt country in the world, and how true that is, we've made a full circle, it was corrupt in Noah's day, and God destroyed it because of it, and the faults of men's heart was only wicked continually, and repented the Lord that He made man upon the earth, and God done the unthinkable. He said, I'll destroy man whom I've made upon the earth. I'm telling you, buddy, it just turned his stomach. Well, we've made full circle. I know they all harping about we drove out the Indians, and they were heathens, but we've become more heathen than the ones we drove out, and they were probably, in some sense of the word, more righteous than we were. At least they did believe in a higher power. I know a little bit about Indians. I fool with Indian stuff all the time. But the Indians believed, you know, in the Great Spirit. They buried all their dead facing the east because the Lord's going to come from the east and the stuff like that. But we become in the category mentioned in Psalm chapter 9, verse 17, that said all the nations that forget God will be turned to hell. We've reached that. We've definitely come to the point that I'll tell you, buddy, we're ready for the judgment of God, the destruction that's coming upon this world that's lingering right now. Ain't going to linger much longer, amen. In Revelation chapter 18, verse 5, God mentioned here about a woman called Babylon, and it said her merchandise had made the world rich, and you can draw your own conclusions about who that is. I've got my opinion, and I'm sure you've got some too. But let me say in Revelation chapter 18, verse 5, it said her sins have reached heaven. Now, if you don't know, that's what happened in Lot's day. Their sins reached heaven. The angel said, the cry of it come up to heaven, and we've come down to see whether the cry of it is like it is or not. They come down to examine this cry from Sodom. And by the way, it was a cry of homosexuality, child abuse, abuse of mankind, abusing themselves of mankind. And the cry that come up to heaven, well, this Babylon mentioned in Revelation chapter 18, verse 5, her sins now have reached heaven. Verse 8 says, strong is the Lord God who judges her. Verse 10 says, for in 1 hour is our judgment come. Verse 19 says, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. I just want you to know God's ready to judge the quick and the dead. He don't need any kind of help. He's more than able to judge this world. And I tell you what, He will judge it at His coming. And I'm telling you, buddy, in 1 hour, Babylon is made desolate. That's a pretty rough verse there. In verse 19 of Revelation chapter 18. You look back through the Bible there and you can see where God warned Israel. You can see where God warned, matter of fact, He told Moses when he was up on Mount Sinai getting the Ten Commandments, He told him to get himself down quickly because the people had corrupted themselves and they were worshiping them two golden calf that Aaron had made, and they were down there worshiping naked, dancing before that golden calf. But there was a great king named Nebuchadnezzar, and he was in God's stead to some degree. I mean, he was so great that he was feared as God. But Nebuchadnezzar was warned by a dream in Daniel chapter 2, verse 34. He was warned again by a furnace in Daniel chapter 3, verse 25. Then he was warned by an angel, a watcher, in Daniel chapter 4, verse 13. And verse 25 said, until he knew that the Most High ruled in the kingdom of men. And by the way, within 1 year of that warning, King Nebuchadnezzar lifted up himself and God brought him down. Amen. And let me say this, buddy. Verse 33, it said in the same hour, He brought him down. I think, buddy, that's how close we are. I think we're in the final hours. I'll tell you what, verse 37 of Daniel, chapter number 4, Nebuchadnezzar made this statement, those that walk in pride, he's able to abase. And it's kind of funny that his son, Belshazzar, in Daniel chapter 5, the next chapter, fell in the same condemnation. And as he's making fun of God, drinking wine from the vessels of the house of God with his princes, his concubines. The Bible said a finger of a man's hand wrote on the wall. And it said in the same hour that finger showed up. You know one reason that we're looking upon swift destruction? One reason, buddy, our nation's guilty of forgetting God is we have forgot to teach our children about God. Brother Melvin made this statement earlier about, you know, the church needs to withstand, and we do. But I'll tell you what we probably got the better advantage of is teaching our children the ways of God. And you know, we do have a lot of children coming over here, and I thank the Lord for those children. And the only hope those children have got, and all the hope we've got to get to those children, is in Sunday school class. They're teaching the ways of God and the things of God. I got such a blessing a while back when we had that little skip thing there, and Andrew was up here behind this thing, and it said sin, and Molly was helping these children during that thing right there. And Andrew, boy, he liked sin pretty good. But when he had his fill of sin, he said, "Somebody help me. I don't like it no more." I'll tell you what, buddy, I wish America could get its fill. I don't know if it's even possible or not. But one thing God said about Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, verse 9, He said, "I know him that he will command his children and his household, and they will keep the way of the Lord." We have forgotten to teach our children. I heard a little bit this week about a man named Dewey. I forgot his first name. But he was given the job of putting together the books for school. Now, he's an atheist. That'd be a good one to give a job to, that, wouldn't it, Gail? Here he is. He's an atheist. Seemed like his name was Howard Dewey. I don't know. I know his name was Dewey. But he was given the job to print the books for our children to read. And he's an atheist. He don't believe in God. He was a secular humanist. He didn't even believe in the way of God. And he wanted to, really, for lack of better words, to re-teach our children other things than what we would like for them to be taught. And it kind of was done without anybody knowing about it. I mean, it crept in unawares. And next thing you know, our children haven't been taught the right way. And next thing you know, buddy, it starts coming home. And you say, "What in the world's going on? My house is a living hell. My children, they don't bless me no more. They come in a curse head and they do all manner of evil." They start taking dope. They start doing all kind of violence, breaking things. And they get mad and stomp the foot. The Bible talks about the children's teeth are set on edge. For those of you who don't know what that means, when I get mad, I put my teeth on edge. My teeth's on edge when I'm mad. Well, they're getting mad. And I'll tell you what the Bible said, "There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." And I'll tell you what, buddy. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And we're starting to see some of the fruit of this doing. But we made a mistake when we started teaching our children something other than the fear of God. We started making a mistake. We started teaching our children something other than the things they need to be taught. How to count, how to read, how to write. What in the world are they going to be taught this other bunch of junk for? I have no explanation why we've got to teach kindergartens about sex education. I have no comment. But it's to our demise. Oh yeah, you're right, Brother Melvin. The devil done come in. And the first thing he wanted was to teach our children his way. And for lack of better words, the damage is done. I don't think it can be undone no matter what we do. But I want to guess we're probably victims of prophecy. But we do need to reach our children. We do need to teach them the ways of God.
Amen.
Not only have we forgot to teach our children, but also our nation's guilty of forgetting God on Sunday.
Yeah.
They call it Fun Day now. Yeah. Carolyn, now it's Super Bowl Sunday, some kind of football game. I didn't know nothing about sports. I told somebody one time out there at work, I said, "Boy, they had a good football game." I said, "It must have been World Series." I said, "It's a World Series game or something like that." I mean, that's baseball, and football's a Super Bowl. And I didn't know the difference. They was all laughing. I was wondering why they're laughing about. But my dad and my son, they both sports fanatics. It missed me. But anyway, football takes a place now of Sunday, and it becomes, you know, a Super Bowl Sunday. And I think some churches went so far as put a big screen TV in the church and to have snacks and chips and dip and all that right there, trying to keep people in church. Listen, if God can't keep them in there, a man, Brother Mather, can't keep them in there. We go out and try to drag them in. We go out and try to compel them in. We put door knockers on. We pray, pass the track and all that right there. But I'll tell you right now, buddy, if they don't love the Lord, you ain't going to keep them. You can pass out hot dogs, hamburgers, marshmallows, whatever else. But I'll tell you what, football, Sunday become fun day. Then you got baseball, basketball, golf ball, hammer ball. On Sundays, what they do. Now it's four-wheelers, horse riding, car racing. Yeah, abomination. That's right. But I'll tell you right now, there ain't no substitute for God. And I'll tell you what, buddy. He said, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. And I know we don't worship on the Sabbath. We're on the Lord's Day in the house of the Lord. But the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more, Sister Molly, as we see that day approaching. I believe it's closer than a lot of people realize. But I'll tell you, buddy, they forget Him on Sunday, and they want to have a bow. That's Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. They become lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's Scripture. But also, they forget about Him at the dinner table.
Yes.
I know you don't put a lot of thought to this. A lot of people watch you.
Amen.
I first got saved, Sister Molly. I didn't have it all figured out, and I still don't. But I learned from my children, kind of the hard way, but I learned not to eat my food like a dog, but rather bow my head and thank the Lord to be able to have health, appetite, and food. But having learned that, we went from church one day over to ATL on Ghost Bend. We went over to Burger Queen. I don't know if anybody can even remember back that far or not. That was about 23 years ago. We went to Burger Queen and got our food, sat down at the table, and as a family, we bowed our head and said, Lord, thank You for this food. Thank You for our family, and bless it. In Jesus' name we ask it. And literally, a couple come over and wept over us, William. They said they got blessed watching a family bow their head. And sometimes it's a blessing. But it ought to always be done. We ought to always do that. Not forget. Listen, I'm going to give you some verses here. They forget about God at the dinner table at home, at work, at the restaurant. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 6 says, how shall he that occupied the room of the unlearned say amen without giving a thanks? Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, Carolyn, they can give thanks now, but they can't mention that name Jesus. Well, Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, the Father will give it. So what in the world do I want to ask blessing for without Jesus' name? It'd be a waste of time. Amen. I'll tell you right now, without the name Jesus, I don't even have an interest for God. But through Him, a new and living way was made. And through that new and living way, I don't need a priest. I can go straight to God, to the throne of grace, and say, Father, glory! New and living way. I've got access. You've got access. But I'll tell you what, have an opportunity. Lord, always give thanks for all things. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1-3. He said, I would that giving thanks be made for all men, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now listen, I don't like some things, but the Bible tells me to pray. It tells me to pray for those who are in authority. Listen, I'm not going to be political this morning, not yet anyway. But I will in point number 4. But in point number 3, we do need to give thanks for all their authority. I used to call policemen names that I shouldn't have. But you know, I've met some of them hired, I got a different opinion now. And I tell them, I say, I want to thank you for trying to protect us, trying to help us. Because I tell you what, one of the police, we'd kill one another. Amen. What they used to call them, justice of the peace. Don't the Bible say, blessed are the peacemakers?
Yes.
Sometimes it's a loaded gun. Sometimes it's a blackjack. I was talking to Anthony this morning, and I was telling him back when I was 16, I said, I got to spend a night in jail. I said, they caught me drunk, put me in jail, and they threw me in the bullpen, James. and it was full. There wasn't no place to sit down, wasn't no place to lay down. And I got there in jail, a 16-year-old in jail. They didn't give me no phone call, and I'm glad they didn't, Keith. I needed that. And I backed up in the corner and got down on my haunches. In other words, I sat down on my heels. I put my elbows on my knees, and I took my hand and put my face in my hand. And when I'm sitting there in that corner right there, as men are cursing, urinating, and throwing up, I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, if I didn't say Lord, but I said, if I ever get out of here, I'll never end up back here again. Once was enough. But I did spend a night in jail. My next morning, my mother and father called the police station. You seen our son? Yeah, he's in jail. They didn't ask what he done. They didn't try to get him for police brutality. They didn't persecute him or prosecute him because they didn't give me no phone call. They realized, buddy, it made a difference. Yes, sir. Yeah. Probably good for a lot of people to spend a night in jail. Once was enough for me, Brother Melvin. I can't repeat what I heard. I ain't never smelt nothing in that category, and I used to feed hogs. When we first got married, my wife's uncle, he raised hogs, worked at a dairy farm, and we fed them hogs whey. Benny Anderson, that whey wasn't always, sometimes it was about half spoiled, they'd eat it anyway. But old Benny, he'd come back to that check after we got them little feeder pigs out. We done cut their tails off and all that stuff, you know, and got them all ready. He put hay down the back of his truck, hose them down real good with a water hose, drive up there and sell them. He come back with that check, said, I can't smell a thing. Dead man. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, buddy, that night I spent the night in jail. I have to admit, buddy, I knew I had made a mistake. I didn't want to make it again. But I thank God for those in authority that watch over you, watch over your children. And listen, I know you get mad when they arrest your son, arrest your daughter, and try to keep them from killing themselves, find them drunk, on dope, texting, or whatever else. They're trying to save their life. That's what their job is. Hebrews 13 verse 15 says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Verse 16 says, forget not to do it. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We don't need to forget to teach our children about the Lord. We don't need to forget to give thanks to the Lord. We don't need to forget Him at the dinner table. We don't need to forget Him on Sunday. But also, we don't need to forget Him at the voting booth. I know we just had an election. Maybe it didn't go like you wanted. Maybe it didn't go like I wanted. I don't know. I ain't going to argue about it. I'll just tell you this. God raised up Pharaoh, and he's as wicked as hell. God said He raised him up for one purpose, to make a name for Himself. And I certainly don't understand everything God does. I don't even understand this situation. I just know one thing, He's coming for me, and I say the sooner the better. And I'd like to get out of here. But right now, I'm occupied until Jesus comes. Amen. And the sooner He comes, the better off. I'm leaving on the first load, Brother Melvin. I don't want to stay one second longer. Man, I'm telling you what. He said He wouldn't put more on what we could bear. I about had my fill. I'm getting sick of sin. I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of hearing about little babies being abused. I'm tired of hearing about them finding girls being molested and cut up and everything else. I've had it to hear. Yeah. I'm sick of it. Man, this world's sick. They're sick in the head, Brother Melvin. Yeah. There's something wrong. Something wrong between the ears. Nobody in their right mind does some of the things. I mean, kill a loving mother and father. Margaret, all they done was want them to get in church. That's all the mother and dad wanted to do, was get the boy in church, and he come in and shot the mother and father dead while they were sleeping. Thought that took care of it. Oh boy. Like Cain. Now, boy, here he is. Now, conscience bearing down on what he's done now. The devil's changed. He's like a chameleon anyway. From the one that conspired it and said, I'd kill him if I was you. If I was you, I'd show him. Now he's on the other hand. Look what you've done.
Right.
I wouldn't live with myself if I'd done what you've done. I'd take my life and a lot of them do it, Keith.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I just mentioned about that young boy who took his life last Sunday. Good friend. That's where the devil works. He'll get you to do his bidding. And then, boy, he turns your cheek.
Yeah.
Now, buddy, he's somebody different now. Boy, he's condemning you now. And you're like Cain. My punishment's greater than I can bear. That old devil, boy, he loves it like that. Yeah. But don't forget, God is a voting booth. I don't know how it turns out, but I'll tell you one thing. There's certain criteria that you need to keep in mind when it comes to voting. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 2, David speaking here, the last words of David, said, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me." And here's what God said: "He that ruleth over men must be just. If he don't qualify, don't vote." We need some just men. It's sick when the people vote, Brother Howard, a bill, Proposition 8, that marriage should only be between one man and one woman, and you get a liberal judge to overthrow the vote of the people and reinstitute it in there and shove it down your throat whether you like it or not. I'm telling you, we need just judges and lawyers
and politicians.
That's what I was trying to get Doug out there. Listen, if they're not just, don't vote for them.
Right.
Do the best you can. Get down and say, "Lord, help me to vote for the right one. I don't want to vote a wicked man in." The Bible said when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Don't haphazardly go to the voting booth. Remember, God, when you go to the voting booth, say, "Lord, help me to cast my vote for the one that needs to get voted in." Don't tell me your vote don't make a difference. Your vote could cancel out someone else's vote that wants someone wicked voted in. He said, "He that ruleth over men must be just." That's one qualification. Ruling in the fear of God, that's a second qualification. If they don't qualify for that position, don't vote for them. Now that's a command. That's not a suggestion. And I'll tell you what, buddy, your vote does matter. But swift destruction comes upon people. They forget to teach their children. They forget Him on Sunday. They forget Him at the dinner table. They forget Him at the voting booth. But also, they forget Him when it comes to salvation. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22 says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, there is none else." You want to know who that's talking about? Well, just listen. I'll make it perfectly clear. There'll be no misconception, no mess, who I'm talking about. Now, I'm not going with Muhammad, nor am I going with Allah. I'm not going with Joseph Smith. I'm not going the Mormon way. I'm not going the Jehovah Witness way. I'm not going the Muslim way. I'm going, like Molly said, the cross way. I'm going, Jesus said He was the way. He said, "No man comes to the Father but by Him." But listen, I want you to know who this is. "Look unto me," it says, "and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." Verse 23 says, "That unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear." Who is that? Well, look in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10. "That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow." Verse 11, "And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." You want to know who God's talking about? He's talking about Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other name." There ain't no other name but Jesus. And whereby we must be saved. No other name given. Jesus Himself said, John chapter 10, verse 9, He said, "I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved." No other door, no other way, no other name. If you forget about Him when it comes to salvation, you'll be without hope, without help, without God. Jesus, He said, "If you could come some other way," in John 10, verse 1, He said, "If you could, you'd be a thief and a robber. You wouldn't be allowed to stay if you could climb up some other way." Why not just come to Him? Let Him be your Savior. Why not just come to Him and say, "I'm sorry, I should have done this, but if you'll still have me, I want to come and get your name in the book, get your sin under the blood, get a refuge for your soul, start enjoying your life, start seeing good days, start getting blessed, start understanding how much God loves you." But if you forget Him when it comes to salvation, one day death will come. Amen, Molly. It'll come on a day when you ain't expecting it. Is anybody in here expecting to die today? I couldn't die if I wanted to. Jesus said, "Whosoever believeth in me shall never die." You know, when God breathed into the nostrils of Adam, he became a living soul. Did you know he was eternal?
Yeah.
You see, the Bible says all I can do is kill my body, and after that I can do no more. That's all I can do. I can kill my body, but I can't do no more. And someone can kill me, Molly, but they can only kill my body. But when they kill my body, or if I kill my body, then the Bible said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, my soul is going to return to God that gave it. Then I'm going to give an account of what I've done with this Jesus. And if He's my Savior, I'm going to hear the words, enter thou into the joys of the Lord, thou good and faithful servant. If He's not my Savior, I'm going to hear the words, depart from me, I never knew you. But God breathed into Adam, and he became not just a living soul, but God's eternal. God gave him eternal somewhere. Turned in hell, turned in heaven. I just want to spend eternity in heaven. You go wherever you want to, but I'll tell you right now, I'm allergic to pain. I don't like flames. I don't like torment. I don't like gnawing my tongue. And gnawing my tongue for pain and crying and weeping, saying, give me one more chance. I'll repent. Give me one more chance. I'll receive you. Yeah. I'm glad I had no sense to fall down on my knees and say, Lord, I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
Before death came, Brother Melvin. Before death came, I fell down on my knees at 9000 Ebony Road and called upon Him. For rich and mercy, I'll call upon Him. And praise God, I didn't just get saved. I got good and saved. Amen. Man, it's still holding on like an anchor. Amen. Every now and then, somebody said there was a young boy flying a kite one day. And William, he's flying it real high. Had a lot of string. Guy come by and he said, what are you doing, boy? And he said, I'm flying my kite. He looked up and he said, I don't see no kite. He said, how do you know you're flying a kite? He said, every now and then I can feel a tug. And every now and then, praise God, I feel a tug. Amen. The Bible said in Romans chapter 8 that God has given us of His Spirit, and His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And every now and then in my life, I feel a tug. Amen. I like a tug every now and then. Hallelujah. No, amen. That I'm saved. To know Him. Listen, death's going to come. It's going to come in an hour you ain't thinking. I said I was going to preach on swift destruction. The Bible said, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy.
Amen.
Swift destruction. Somebody's meeting it right now. Somebody's going out to meet God right now, unprepared. Not no prophet. But I'll tell you right now, I'd rather go out and meet God prepared. I'd rather go out to meet God on good terms. I'd rather go out to meet Him and to know Him. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. There ain't no better hands to put your soul in than in those nail-scarred hands of Jesus. But I'll tell you right now, buddy, swift destruction upon the nations that forget God, upon the sinners that don't get saved, they forget to get saved. I'll tell you right now, buddy, He'll have judgment and He'll linger not. Man, you never seen such judgment in your life. You ought to get saved. I know you've said it in many services, said it in naught, heard many invitational hymns, didn't move. One day, it's going to be the last day. God said in Proverbs chapter number 1, why sit ye naught at my counsel? Why not hearken unto my reproof? Oh, listen. The Lord loves you. He made heaven just for you. You got family up there? He wants you to come see Him again.
Yeah.
Amen. I got all kind of family up there, Carolyn. Yeah. I got so much family up there, my next homecoming has to be in heaven.
Amen.
Man, I'm about like the last Mohican, I feel like sometimes. Man, I've got family there I ain't seen in a long time. I'm glad we will have eternity. To be able to sit down and enjoy one another's company and talk about days gone by and laugh and cry. And man, oh man, just enjoy eternity. You ain't going to enjoy it if you go to hell. I heard one guy say, I'm going down to hell, man. All my buddies going to party. Yeah, screaming party. Suffering. Screaming. Crying. Wishing for one more opportunity. Well, let me just say this morning. God's given you an opportunity. And you ought to take advantage of it. Brother Melvin, if you would please pick out an invitational hymn. Father, we've done the best we could. Lord, this day has been a tough day for me, but I pray something said, you can move upon it. And I pray someone, Lord, today break loose from Satan's grip, come to the loving arms of Jesus, and get saved for your glory and praise, we ask it. Like this, everybody stand. I want you to think about what's been said. Somebody may already have your coffin ready. Somebody's going to have to do the job of trying to comfort your family. It's going to be hard to comfort them if you ain't got something to give them. I'd like nothing better than to say, I'll tell you one thing. I was there the day they got saved. Boy, it'd be good to be able to give a hurting family some consolation. Be able to give them some comfort. But say, I'll tell you what, I know this much. They came up on that altar that day, and the best way they knew how, they asked the Lord to forgive them, asked the Lord to save them. I believe I'll see them in heaven. That won't happen unless you do something with this Jesus. Pilate said, what shall I do with this Jesus? You'll have to do something with Jesus. He'll either be your judge or he'll be your Savior. That'll all depend on what you do with him. He wants to be your Savior, but if you don't get saved, he will be your judge. All you're to come. On a rainy day like today, and I wouldn't want to get saved on 1313, but I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't want to go to hell either. Can you imagine dying in your sins and going to the devil's hell on a day that's attributed to the devil? Won't you just break the yoke right now? Come up here and say, Lord, I need to get saved. Me and you need to talk. He already knows all about you. He knows everything about you and still loves you. Won't you come? Come right now. I mean, don't even hesitate. Don't even think about it. Just break loose and come. Find that joy. Unspeakable. That peace that passes all understanding. All the only bread I got, I wish I'd done it sooner. Hallelujah, what a blessing. To be saved, to be in the family of God, name in the book, sin in the blood, to be blessed, God. Amen. There's no way to explain. It's better experience. Somebody said better fail than tell. I'll tell you one thing, buddy. It's wonderful to be saved. Father, please help, Lord. You know the hearts. That one nearest hell. Maybe even right now, Lord, this may be the last invitation they'll ever have. Lord, I certainly don't want to fail in my efforts to tell them to please come. Please get saved. Oh, Lord, I don't know what this day's on. I do pray. Urgency of him on this matter. May the Holy Ghost crusher in our midst the souls that are here in jeopardy of eternity somewhere other than heaven. Help them. Come on. Won't you come? I prayed for you this morning. Called your name after God. That's all I do. You got to come to Jesus. You got to call upon Jesus and say, Lord, I want to be saved. James said, you have not because you ask not. You're to come. Last verse. Yeah, he sure did. Coming home. Won't you come? Nine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming. Won't you come? No better time than right now for his telling. When it could be a better time than right now. Bible said today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now's the accepted time. Today's the day of salvation. Know'st not tomorrow, thou knowest not what a day may bring. Only a fool would think about getting saved tomorrow. Yesterday's done gone. All you've got's today. Put wide thine arms of love. He's got them open. Thank you, Brother Melvin. All we can do is pray, preach, and plead. But I'll tell you what Jesus can do, buddy. He can forgive, cleanse, and save. Maybe somebody's got a word on your heart. Thank you for coming. On a rainy day like today, boy, people. Better be ready to meet the Lord. I don't know how much sand's in the glass. I don't know how many minutes or hours we got left. I just know one thing. The Lord loves us. Ample opportunity's been given. Man, the long serpent of God has waited like it did in the days of Noah. Maybe somebody got a word in your heart. We'll be dismissed if you don't.
Brother Eddie, I love my Lord.
Amen, Sister Carolyn.
Thank you.
Amen.
That I feel in my heart what I feel.
Woo!
I praise His holy name.
Amen.
I don't know any other way to say it.
Bless you, Carolyn.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. That's about as pure as it gets right there. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm thankful I can call out upon His name and I know He's there.
Yeah.
And I know that He'll bless and touch, reach whatever we need.
Amen. Well said. Well said. Bible said the devils believe in God and tremble. I don't know what in the world anybody have any problem believing on the Lord for. You know, when the atheist falls off a cliff, he says, oh my God!
And you know, I want to thank him for Molly's testimony.
Yeah.
Because I know it was truly from God.
Amen.
And Brother Webb Front, I praise
for the Webb, yeah.
Him.
Yeah.
I praise his name.
Amen.
We all need to show ourselves approved. God's
well
approved
said.
Us. Jesus approved us.
Let well
us be
said.
One in you. We need to bring out that light that's in us.
That's right. Well said, Sister Carolyn. Amen. Boy, it's been a good service this morning. I know it's been a rainy day. I know the number's down. But I have to admit, it's been a good service. Amen. Are we done?
Well, I
want to
say this. America might not be what she ought to be, but I wouldn't trade her for any other country.
That's a partial truth. It's fixing to change. The change ain't going to be the one we voted for. I'll tell you that.
Maybe we ought to pray for him. Yeah.
We better. That's what the Bible says. Pray for them in authority.
I heard a preacher say that you better be collecting your Bibles.
And yeah. He guards any Bibles, yeah.
That we will be in a household of people gathering. And so... There's one thing about it, too, you
hide His word that you got
in
your heart. That's right.
Because
she's
there
right.
Might not be one that we can get a hold of, and that's the Bible. And if you don't know what's in that Bible, then you can't hide nothing in your heart.
That's right. She's right. I went up there to Montgomery, Alabama, support George Roy Moore, and the veterans were passing these out. And I wasn't sure if I still had it or not. But what this is the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States. Probably good if y'all had this, so you at least know what you do have. I'm going to preach again tonight about rights, and I would like to encourage you to come back tonight. I will be making a few quotes from this thing. But like Charlotte said, we do have rights in this country, and that is a blessing. She's right. Other countries, they tell them what they can and can't do over here. At least you can. I mean, it may not be what it used to be, but it's still pretty good. But
they're taking rights away from us. Yeah. Trying to get a gun,
you know,
like so.
You'd be amazed at some of the statements some of the founding fathers made, some of the declarations that they made concerning this country. And I will be, and like I said, the veterans passed these out. But I got a copy of the Bill of Rights, and I got a copy of the Declaration of Independence and a copy of the Constitution of the United States of America just by going up there and trying to support Judge Roy Moore, who wanted to keep the Ten Commandments in his office. And I'd like to invite you to come back tonight. If possible, at 5 o'clock.
You know, Brother Eddie, we need to be brave and stand up for what we believe. Yes, I was there before yesterday. I ran to Walmart for a minute to pick up some things. And I went around this counter where the meat was at. I don't know how many times. It's where the turkeys was. I do remember that. Just looking at this and that. But at the very corner right here, about like this right here, there was a writing on it. And I didn't see that as many as me standing there, and it just appeared. Just appeared, and it said, "Jesus needs you." Out where it came from?
Yeah.
Did you see it, Harry?
Mm-hmm.
Harry saw it.
Yeah.
And it was white and red and blue, and it said, "Jesus needs you." And we were standing right there, and it wasn't there, and all of a sudden it was there.
Wonderful. Amen.
And it said, "Jesus needs you," didn't it?
Amen. Well, it's good.
It's amazing. It showed up. Somebody had to went in front of us or behind us or side us and just slipped it.
Praise the Lord.
You.
I'll tell you, there's something in me that leaps at the mention of His name, it His does. Song, yes. Or in letter, or in word, or anything. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are we done?
Well, this whole life will be in vain, you know, if we live it and don't get saved. Go
that's right.
You know, that's what it's all about. Our Lord paid the price for us, didn't He? You know,
yeah.
That we go to heaven if we want it. You know, it's left up to us that we want hell or we want heaven. And I tell you what, I don't want to go to that hell. Man, they'd be suffering forever. Can you imagine? 10 trillion years, and they ain't no closer to getting that again. I'm proud that my parents put this in my heart, you know, about heaven, hell, about Jesus, you know, and
yeah.
about this Bible, you know. And it had a lot of place here, and I never forgot it. You know, that's the way it reads. We need to teach these kids.
Yeah.
About the Lord, about heaven, hell, and all, you know, and all that, these things. So, these schools, well, they took them 10 commandments, sent the little fellows, they get to curse their parents, and, you know, they just don't hear it. You know, they took the church and pedophile out here, the way the kids are, you know, going wild, growing up wild, you know, don't know anything about turning here, nothing, you know.
Right.
And it's sad, it sure is. But, I'll tell you right now, heaven, it said that I've seen her ear hurt, either. It's
yeah.
hurt me.
Amen.
You know, got to go through the service, so, you know. That's going to be on her comprehension, imagination, you know, we can't imagine.
Amen. I like sound of it.
And Jesus, he made it real easy, real simple. He's serve the devil, you're going to go to hell with him.
Right.
Serve him, you're going to heaven with him. So
that's
it's
right.
real simple, you know. So we got to get, a confession, you've got to get saved. And I tell you what, I'm thankful that I got saved when I did. I'm almost 24, you know, that was too long. Or get saved when the Lord did when they're young, 8 or 10 years old, you know. I'll tell you what.
Probably got some seed planted in, though, when he's young.
Yeah. So, the longer we put it up, the harder that heart gets, and the more it's going to be harder to get saved. But
that's
you
right.
Know,
that's
if
right.
We go for $10 and plead for the Lord now and ask him to forgive us for sins and save us, I'll tell you what, he'll do it. He said, not willing to answer prayers, but I'm coming to repentance. We've got to have faith and trust him. I mean, when we ask him to save us, we've got to faith, believe him, you know. Maybe for a grand, I don't know where he's in Kansas. Keith, and I believe I told this before, but let me tell you again. He was a lost man, probably close to 80 years old, in 70, late 70 or something. He'd had surgery, they had a revival in Whitechapel. And his daughter, two of his daughters there at night, I said, Rick Mayfield can come to revival. Jim Goff started at revival the first night, you know. She said, no, he had surgery about 3 days before hernia surgery, and he wouldn't be able to come.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe they'd go see him, you know. And I had went over and asked Jim if him and Arthur Gardner Deacon there, if he'd go see him and try to pray with him, he'd say, you know, sure enough, they did, went the next day, and I told you about this.
Yeah.
Had the third prayer they had, he got up from there. He was happy. He said he would take $1 million what he felt.
That's right.
The man gets saved around 80 years old now. That's good, eh?
Yeah, it's good.
I'm still lingering with him, and not wanting him to perish.
Amen.
And
me and Brother Melvin, by the same token, we talked to another guy, and he said, not now. And
so
I don't know how it went with that man, but he said, no, not now. We said, why don't you get saved? No, not now. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be long after that. He's passed away. Just don't know.
This is Kyle Burton. It's Ken, but uncle, yeah. Charlie's uncle.
Yeah.
He's probably 92 or 3.
Well,
91 or 2 years old, you know.
Wow, he just got saved, didn't he?
Yeah, in the hospital over at Campbellsville, lately. Where he got cancer bad, you know. Mm. And he gets saved yesterday, so here, you know, that the preacher from Bloomington went over and believed. And
praise the Lord. Amen.
The Lord's still saving. He's not wanting any perish, you know, giving plenty of time. Get ready, you know,
to meet him. Amen. Amen. I agree with all that. I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
I would say there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents.
Yeah.
More than 99 just people that repent
right.
not. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you right now.
And our faith is going to be tested. But God said there's a heaven again and a hell to
shine. Amen.
Let her take
heed. Amen, Sister Molly. Boy, you've been a blessing today. Amen. All right, let's all stand. We'll be dismissed.
I might have been a blessing to you, but one day I'll sit at his feet.
Woo! Amen. I like the sound of that, too. But I heard dismiss us word of prayer there, brother.
Lord, we'll thank you again for the good message. Again, first, today, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that we push this in the person of our